Vibrashe.
O best of the Brahmanas.
O best of the Brahmanas.
He
indeed.
Anurita.
Anurita.
Nothing afraid of fighting.
Never be afraid of fighting.
Tanujaja.
Tanujaja.
And thus lay down their lives.
Na.
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 Tata.
As.
Tirthayate.
Tirthayate.
On the arrival of a saintly person. Who creates holy places.
Who creates holy places.
Sharadaya.
Sharadaya.
With faith and devotion.
With faith and devotion.
Yay.
Those who.
Dhyana Tyaja.
Dhyana Tyaja.
Can give up their accumulated wealth.
Can give up their accumulated wealth.
Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O best of the Brahmanas, many men have laid down their lives on the battlefield, being unafraid of fighting, but rarely has one gotten the chance to give up his accumulated wealth faithfully to a saintly person who creates holy places. Please repeat, O best of the Brahmanas.
O best of the Brahmanas.
Many men have laid down their lives on the battlefield.
Being unafraid of fighting.
But rarely has one gotten the chance to give his accumulated wealth faithfully to a saintly person who creates holy places. Shri Prabhupada's purport, many kshatriyas have laid down their lives on the battlefield for their nations. But hardly a person can be found who has given up all his property and his accumulated wealth in charity to a person worthy of the gift. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 17:20, Tatavyam iti adhanam diyate nupakarane deshe kale cha patrecha tadhanam satikam sritam. That gift which is given out of duty at the proper time and place to a worthy person, without expectation of return, is considered to be charity in the mode of goodness. Thus, charity given in the proper place is called sattvika. And above this charity and goodness is transcendental charity, which everything is sacrificed for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vamanadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had come to Bali Maharaj for alms. How could he get such an opportunity to give charity? Therefore, how could one get such an opportunity to give charity? Therefore, Bali Maharaj decided without hesitation to give the Lord whatever he wanted. One day he had various opportunities to lay down his life on the battlefield, but such an opportunity as this is hardly ever attained. So the text again. Sulavayudi viprashe tye ya niritastanu tyaja natata tirta ayate sharadaya yedana tyaja. O best of Brahmins, many men have laid down their lives on the battlefield, being unafraid of fighting, but rarely has one gotten the chance to give his accumulated wealth faithfully to a saintly person who creates holy places. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanavane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Prasarane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskya Gyade Satarane. Bali Maharaj is pointing out one of the seven indirect rasas. There are five primary rasas, namely Madhurya, Vatsalya, Sakya, Dasya, and Shanta. That is conjugal, parental, friendship, servitorship, and neutral. And there are seven indirect rasas, secondary rasas. One of them is being charitable. Well, not charitable. Yuda, the Yuda rasa. is ghastly, there is laughing, there's chivalry. So this is under the realm of chivalrous rasa. So the chivalrous rasa is in the nectar devotion is divided into different parts. One of them is giving in charity, and the other is just plain old fighting. And there's a third one too. So here, between fighting and chivalry, or being charitable, because both of them, one is you're prepared to give up your life, and the other thing is probably more difficult to give up, the things that you're attached to. Namely, charity. So, generally everyone has come into the world to get as much as possible. And generally people even give charity, in other words, accumulate some kind of kingdom or empire, be it big or small. But everyone has this idea of somehow or another getting the most out of the material energy. Now, generally people give charity because they're expecting something in return. People have unlimited wealth, they sometimes give in charity because they want their name to be increased, the fame of them, their fame to be increased. But they want something in return. Because like we find that many times, in the Indian community, they give donations, but they expect at least a plaque with their name on it. At least their parents, their deceased parents, they should have a plaque in the temple that so much has been given by us, and therefore we should be respected and appreciated. So what is this respect and appreciation that people want? They want to be loved, ultimately speaking. Why do people do anything? Ultimately, they want some happiness, and even in the material world, people want to be loved. Something about them, they want to be loved. Even their name, they want to be loved. Just like Krishna, his name is lovable for those who love Krishna. Are we having a translation back there? Or? So people want their name to be loved, just like Krishna's name is lovable because it's not different from Krishna. So in imitation of that, in the perverted reflection, people want their name to be glorified and appreciated also. People want their name, their form, their qualities and their activities to be adored, appreciated. Therefore, for famous people, they have some statue erected. Prabhupada used to say that Napoleon, why was he fighting so much? Because ultimately he wanted his name, form, quality, and pastimes to be remembered, to be appreciated, to be glorified. Otherwise, whether Napoleon ruled over most of Europe or he only had a little house in France, he was probably going to get about the same amount of chapatis. His food was not going to be that different. When he went to sleep at night, I think he was very short. He only was like 1 meter and a half. So he was only going to take up that much room wherever he was. And everyone has their limitation to have a sense gratification they could have. So not much would change whether he was the emperor of the universe or whether he was simply had a little house in Paris somewhere. But he wanted his name, form, quality, and pastimes to be expanded so that when people chant Napoleon, somehow or another ecstasy would arise within the heart. Tears would come to their eyes, the hairs would stand on end, and their hearts would melt. Therefore they erected some statue in Paris so that when people come, they could offer some respects to the statue. Unfortunately, not knowing the process of deity worship according to the Narada Pancharatra, they left the statue outside. So every day, people did not make offerings except for the birds. Birds would come by and make their offering on the statue. And Prabhupada said once a year they go up to the statue they have a crew that with their they scrape off the offerings of the birds. They have a ceremony. Put a flower, maybe a flower garland on the statue. Everyone goes home and the birds come back and start making the offering. So their worship is not deep. And then Prabhupada said that here is a statue of Napoleon that they're worshipping so, well, not very carefully. But still, they're not questioning, here's a statue of Napoleon, but where's Napoleon? Maybe he's one of the birds making the offering. For all they know, he could be one of the birds. So all this hard struggle, to get name, fame, glory in the material world, ultimately to feel appreciated. That story when Prabhupada said, as a yogi, he was meditating, doing austerities for thousands of years. Finally, he got the mystic power. He could actually walk on the water. And the whole town people, they gathered around to watch the yogi walk on the water. The yogi walks across the water. Everyone's bowing down. He becomes so amazingly powerful. Except for one little boy, didn't pay any attention. So the yogi, he appreciated that someone, they appreciate me now. But this little boy, he's neglecting me. How is it possible? Why doesn't he appreciate my power? So he asked the little boy, why don't you appreciate what I've just done? He said, because it's only worth around 5 pice. So what do you mean 5 pice? I've been meditating for thousands of years to achieve this mystic power. How can you tell me it's only worth 5 pice? So the little boy said, because for 5 pice we can take the boat across the water. So people want to be profit, adoration, distinction in this material world. But actually, what they're achieving is something not so important. Not certainly as important as they imagine it to be. And the amount of appreciation they get, the amount of love and respect, is not even for themselves, it's simply for their external body or their subtle mind, which doesn't even belong to them. It belongs to Krishna. And it's under the control of the illusory energy. One is simply desiring, and everything else is being carried out by Krishna, either through his spiritual energy or his material energy. Therefore, the idea of doing anything, whether laying one's life down on the battlefield or giving charity, the whole idea should be to please Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, some fruits, some water, and I'll accept it. But then he says, all right, if you can't do that, it is too, you don't really have that ability, or you, then whatever you do, yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat shahosi, didasi, yat tapasi, kunti, yat kurushva, manarpana. Whatever you eat, whatever you do, yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, do that as a sacrifice for me. Now one may wonder, why should we sacrifice for Krishna? Why should we offer anything to Krishna? Why should we do anything for Krishna? Because ultimately, if we do something for Krishna, we get out of illusion. We come into the spiritual energy. We realize our eternal nature full of bliss and knowledge. And if we don't do something for Krishna, then we'll be put in some position in the material world. Now even those who are following the Vedic scripture, because Krishna, when he told Arjuna, he didn't tell him immediately, just fight for me. He said, Yadricha Swadharmam Apichavesham Navikam Vidum Arharasi Dharmyadi Yunyas Chanya Kshatriyasya Navidya. Happier the Kshatriya is Oparata, for whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. So it's Krishna who's created the Kshatriyas, he's created the Brahmins, he's created everything. People may not remember that, but still it's all been created by Krishna. And he tells the Kshatriyas how to fight, what to do. what is a religious principle. So if one even follows the Vedic scriptures, he's actually following Krishna's instructions. It may be conscious, it may be unconscious. But the Dharma, real Dharma, ultimately comes from Krishna. Even the Dharma in the material world, what is the proper way of utilizing material nature, ultimately for sacrifice. Jagavai Vishnu. So Kshatriyas have a business, have a part in the sacrifice. And one of the sacrifices is they may fight for a religious cause on a battlefield. They may not be conscious of Krishna so much, but they're following his directions, and therefore they're making some advancement by doing so. Such that they may go to the heavenly planets, and certainly in the heavenly planets, consciousness of Krishna is more prominent there. Although the materialistic side of life is also very prominent. In any case, the whole aim is Jagavai Vishnu. Sacrifice something for Vishnu. So, Yuda in the Shivaras Rasa, or Dana Yuda, giving in charity, or other kinds of Shivaras activities, they're all meant only to please Krishna. And if not, then it's considered to be in some other mode of nature. And we may give charity, just like in America, there are what's called bums. You know what a bum is? Bum are the alcoholics on the Bowery. And sometimes people would drive by the Bowery at a stoplight, and the bums would come with a dirty rag to wipe your windshield. The alcohol. So the more they rubbed their dirty cloth in your windshield, the blacker it became. And then they asked you for a donation. Now it's at least a dollar or two. It used to be a quarter. If you give them a quarter, they'll throw it back at you. They feel insulted for all their hard work. You're only giving them a quarter, 25 cents. So you may think, I'm being charitable, I'm helping out this poor person. He's an alcoholic, he needs some alcohol, I'll help him out. So you give a donation, and you feel yourself good. You've been a very noble person, charitable person, you're maintaining this alcoholic on the Bowery. You're contributing to his maintenance. But the problem is that the alcoholic, due to the fact that he's drinking alcohol, he's destined to go to hell and suffer there in one of the hells where they pour alcohol. Not alcohol, they pour hot molten lead down your throat. And the person who gave the charity to support the alcoholic, he's also destined now to go to hell and have hot molten lead poured down his throat because he's become an accomplice to the crime. So one may feel himself very charitable, very noble person, but the result is that he's going to suffer for such charity in the mode of ignorance. So even charity has to be given in the mode of goodness in order to actually be beneficial. Everyone has to give charity in some way, just like I'm speaking. So that's a type of charity, using my energy in Krishna's service. And you're listening, so you're using your energy in Krishna's service too. So in one sense, it's sacrifice, sitting here, listening to about Krishna. We're also donating our energy, whatever energy we have, in the service of Krishna. And it's somewhat of a tapasya to listen to class, and even to give class, maybe a tapasya. So therefore Krishna says, jagna tapasthita dhanam, natyajam, evatat, jagnas tapasthita dhanam, pavanani manushina, that sacrifice, charity, and penance should never be given up. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance, they purify even the great souls. So we should perform sacrifice, charity, and penance for Krishna in the mode of goodness. Krishna has certain things he wants us to be in some ways charitable. Just like he says, you can give in charity to the Brahmins, those who are actually in the mode of goodness, who are actually utilizing charity for sacrifice, or for the Vaishnavas, who are actually utilizing energies to glorify Krishna. So such charity is recommended and will elevate one, but other types of charity will not be very beneficial. So everyone has to perform sacrifice, everyone has to perform give charity, everyone has to perform austerity. To live in the material world means you have to perform some austerity. Even if you have to go to work, get up early in the morning, work at a job is austere. It requires some tolerance. Even if you are on welfare, you become so lazy just to go to the office and pick up your check is an austerity. So everyone has to perform some kind of austerity, giving charity and penance, but it should be done for Krishna. Therefore, people get an opportunity to fight. Everyone is fighting Kali Yuga. So you can go to Iraq now and join the army and get a chance to fight if you want. But the opportunity that God personally comes and asks for something in charity is quite rare. Krishna, of course, wants our charity, but to come personally, if Lord Vamanadeva came and personally asked us for a donation, I'm sure most of us would be happy to give it to him. So similarly, Bali Maharaj realized, because he was a devotee, that here God himself is coming and asking for charity. How can I refuse? Since he is the owner of everything, and this is the whole purpose of whatever the scriptures say, to give it sacrifice for Vishnu, he's personally coming and asking for it. How can I possibly refuse? It's such a great opportunity. Although Shukracharya, being attached, materialistically attached, being in the illusory energy, cannot understand, and therefore he was rejected as the spiritual master, because he wasn't in the spiritual energy, he was in the material energy. He was misdirecting his disciple. Andaya tandera pagiyamanas kepisha tandra urudamivada. He was blind, and if he misdirected his blind followers, the result is that they simply become entangled in the illusory energy. Therefore, Bali Maharaj chose to follow the other great Mahajans, not his temporary and official spiritual master, because he wasn't a spiritual master. He became a material guide. He was misguiding his disciple, actually, away from Vishnu. But everyone is supposed to. Guru na sasyat, swadhino na sasyat, pita na sasyat, swad janani. Pita na sasyat, swadhini na sasyat. Pita, guru na sasyat, swadhini na sasyat. Pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat. Daivam na sasyat, pita na sasyat. That one should not become a father or daivi guru, or one should not become a spiritual master. Guru na sasyat syat pita na sasyat. One should not become a father, one should not become a mother, one should not become a relative, one should not become a husband unless he's going to help his dependents become delivered from the cycle of birth and death. So everyone has a great obligation who takes any responsibility to help one's dependents become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, such responsibility, instead of helping to liberate oneself and others, will simply entangle oneself further in the complexities of material existence, which is quite inauspicious. Because after all, we want love, appreciation. Ultimately, we want happiness, we want security, we want comfort, we want knowledge of how to get those things, how to get them in the maximum way for the longest time. But outside the realm of Krishna consciousness, instead of getting the happiness we're seeking, we may get happiness in the mode of passion, which is only temporary, and then suffering ensues, or we may seek happiness in the mode of ignorance, in which we suffer at the beginning and we suffer at the end. We perpetually suffer. But goodness means that sometimes we may have to tolerate. And then if it's actually for Vishnu, actually for Krishna and his guidance, then we'll become purified and eventually we'll become free from all our anxieties and sufferings and come to the actual state of illumination and happiness. So I'll stop there. Any questions, comments? Yes?
Regarding charity, people often, you know, they're beggars in the city and they often stop us and we don't give. So some devotees claim that that creates a negative image of devotees in the way, and that it also hardens our heart.
Hardens your heart. Well, you can give and go to hell. You have a very soft heart in hell.
Here's another detail. When I was doing my final Bhakti Shastri exam in Mayapur, the question, there was an example given. You are in the training compartment in India, you just spoke with some high-class gentlemen in your compartment, and they gained a favorable image to Krishna consciousness, and you pull out your iPod that you paid $400 in Taiwan for traveling there. And you're out of prasada, and then a crippled boy crawls into your compartment, screaming and asking for something. And they imply that if you don't give, that's a bad preaching.
Karma is very quite complex. But the crippled boy coming into your apartment, you give him some charity, he goes out and buys a hamburger. So your charity has just implicated him into the sinful life of killing animals. And because you gave a charity, you're also now implicated. So you're worrying about the image. So you'll have a very nice image. But soon you're going to become an animal being slaughtered. So what value will your image or the image? We're not here to impress ordinary people, whoever they may be. We're here to serve the acharyas in scripture. So we'd like people to have a favorable image, but it shouldn't be based upon our acting mode of ignorance, to simply satisfy the whims, mental concoctions of ordinary people. Yes?
Thank you. I just want to add one comment. Some prophets said to me when I was young, now I'm not interesting for the future anymore, but they said that I'll walk on water and some seaweed. And I just want to say that I'm not interesting at all for that, and I'm not interesting to have husband or children, because I'm so happy, I can tell you all, that I see and feel one little bliss of supreme person, one little bliss,
yeah.
And it's like so strong and great, like a million suns, and nothing in the universe can compare to that.
Anything else? Yes.
Not giving charity, what about when we are in places like Vrindavan, Mayapur, then there is lot of
interest? The question is what they're going to use the charity for. So if they're going to use the charity and they're actually worshipping Krishna in the holy Dham, they're actually devotees, then it's proper charity. If they're going to use the charity and smoke beedis in the holy Dham, you know, eat and kill pigs, may not be very auspicious. So we generally we have to see if they're actually Vaishnavas. Especially in Kali Yuga.
What do you think, sorry, about the dirty money? Because Mother Teresa wants to have
brothels.
Yes. She took that for dying persons, but Srila Prabhupada said he was very angry because he has heard for some money from, I don't know, Venmo or something.
I don't know anything about this.
I know one.
We should not give in charity for things in the mode of ignorance. Otherwise, we'll have to be, we'll get implicated. Yes.
Sometimes the people who are devotees or friends of devotees are forced, they say, also be engaged in some other physical activities, which is purpose, connecting with this. And they say, one person says that he also depends on Krishna in his.
Well, then people say some of the crazy things. Prabhupada said, just like a goat can eat anything, is a Bengali saying. Just like a goat can eat anything, so a madman can say anything. Krishna doesn't. If we're involved in sinful activities, we're going to have to suffer. It's unfortunate. People say they're being forced to do it, but generally they're not being forced to do it. They want it, they voluntarily do it. They can find something else to do, but they don't want it. And then they say they're relying on Krishna. But just like people say they fight wars and kill others in the name of God. Because of the Germans during the World War II, they're all saying God is on our side. And the British, they said, and the French, they said God is on our side. And they killed each other in the name of God. They never asked God what he wanted. Yes?
So Prabhupada said that we will show our love for him by the way we cooperate. Sometimes a devotee may think, I am a better servant of Srila Prabhupada because I do more austerity, or someone may think I am a better servant because I preach better, or someone may say I am more compassionate, and in this way there is no cooperation. People from outside are not interested to come and be a place where there is no love and cooperation. So what can we do to foster love and cooperation?
Force love and cooperate. You can't force love.
Foster.
Well, we should develop love and cooperation ourselves. We should set the example for others. We should become the example and then others may follow. Alright, thank you very much. Grandaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.